Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you praise and honor and glory. And Lord God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for what we are hearing, for what we're receiving, what is being imparted to us, Lord God. Father, we're so thankful that you love us, Lord God, that you care for us, that you're concerned about us, Lord God. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord, and honor for all that you are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I was preparing to go into chapter 7 tonight, which is how to pray for 1 hour using different kinds of prayer. That's what I was preparing to do. And then I realized I really didn't do justice to the obstacle of unforgiveness because, you know, we got in here a little bit late and I was rushing and I was determined that we were going to go through that chapter. I mean, you know, finish that chapter on last week. But unforgiveness is such an important subject that I felt that we really needed to really, really go over it. And you'll notice even on the tests, I didn't give you that many questions on unforgiveness because we really didn't talk about it a whole lot. In chapter 6, we were looking at obstacles to our prayer. And I think we did a pretty good job with the first 3. But I wasn't comfortable with unforgiveness. So I decided that tonight we would go ahead and we would pick up unforgiveness. And then if we've got time, then we'd move on into chapter 7. But just to let everybody know, online students, we're headed to chapter 7. On last week, the last time we met, I'm sorry, not last week. I shared with you that the author stated that unforgiveness is one of the greatest obstacles to our prayer. It's one of the greatest. You know, he mentioned the other 3, but this one he seemed to be emphasizing. And, you know, he talked about, you know, many believers, you know, we try to masquerade our unforgiveness. And I said, we make excuses for our unforgiveness. And, you know, we say, or we might think, or we might feel we're justified in feeling this way because of what's been done to us. He makes the statements, you know, that we sometimes say, I was offended. I only feel resentment towards him or her. Or I'm only angry, or I'm only bothered. Or I have something against that person, or I feel hurt. These are the things that we say to justify our unforgiveness. The last time we met, we looked at a couple of scriptures, Mark 11, 25 through 26. And Jesus says, and this is right after Mark 11, 23 and 24. Okay, remember that. Right after that, then he turns around and he says, and when you stand praying, forgive, you know, so that was forgiveness. It was even important. It was important to Jesus. He said, forgive. He says, if you have ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, as we're talking about forgiveness and as we're talking about unforgiveness, I want you to think of what Apostle has been teaching us about the soul. And, you know, and think about, when I have unforgiveness towards another person, where is that coming from? We know it's not coming from our spirit, right? Because our spirit has the nature and the ability of God. And we have learned through our apostle that our spirit man is perfect. The spirit man is perfect. So when we start having these feelings, it's in our soul. And you know, and I don't know who we think we are. You know, that we feel that we're justified because people talk about us, they say things to us. What I found myself doing was thinking about Jesus. Years ago, my youngest brother, my baby brother, was murdered. And during the process you know, the grieving process and everything you go through, God began to deal with me, and I began to see some things, you know, that I didn't see, I didn't understand. And I made this foolish statement. I said, "Oh, what a sacrifice." And almost immediately, I was chastised. And it says, he said, "No sacrifice is greater than the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus has already made." Right. Yes. And so when we begin to think about what others do to us, think about what they did to Jesus. Yes. And compare what they did to Jesus and what they're doing to you. No comparison. Amen. You know, you haven't been crucified, huh? Even if they're talking about you. Now, you know, and one of the things that I thought about, I said, now, if it's true what they're saying, repent. That's all we have to do. You know, we have an out. Just go ahead and repent. If it's not true, I mean, you know, Apostle said something tonight. Be still. Hold your peace. Let the Lord fight your battle. You know, and I'm learning that. I'm learning that. And it's so important, this unforgiveness that we are holding. It's blocking us. It's stopping us from receiving all that God has for us. Because he can't even hear your prayers if you got unforgiveness in your heart. You understand that? He can't even hear him. So how are you going to answer him? You know, a lot of times we receive things, grace and mercy. Amen. It is just the sheer mercy of God. You know, and he's doing this to demonstrate to us, get it straight. You know, this is how much I love you. And because I love you, you know, you just go ahead on and you just get this straight. Amen. Amen. Offenses, hurt, wound, let that word wound. You know, think about what Apostle's been teaching us, or what he taught us about the soul. And resentment. Remember I told you they're like guillotines. You know, going to cut your head off, remember? Tower of prayer. Just cut them off. Just cut them off. And I said, let it go. Unforgiveness breaks our relationship with God. He's unable to hear our prayer if we harbor something against our brother. Jesus said, and we looked at that over in Matthew 18. Remember, I think we read it all together. When Peter said, how many times shall I forgive my brother? You know, and he says 70 times, meaning as many times as he come to you. Remember that? And then our author went on and he was explaining. He says Jesus was trying, and they were talking about the debts. Remember, like one of them, you know, he said, forgive me, I'm going to pay you. Have mercy on him. And he did. And it was an enormous amount. Remember in that passage? And then he went right out and got another man who owed him less. Okay? And then, you know, the master, he found out. And, I mean, cast him, I think, in the prison and tormented him and his whole family, he said, until you pay your debt. He says, Jesus was trying to teach us with this passage that the servant had a debt that he could never repay. The servant couldn't do that. He said, Jesus canceled our debt. He canceled the decree. Okay, remember that word decree? That's a strong word. Remember, it come from the king? Did y'all remember hearing that? A decree comes from the king. So he canceled. See, you know, in the Old Testament, we got to understand. You know, it was like you do this, you dead. You just dead. We gonna stone you. You out of here. And so justice said that because man had sinned, I mean, that was, you're gonna be destroyed. You out of here. But then Jesus came and he paid our debt. He canceled it. He took care of it for us. Amen. So the decree was, it was designed to destroy us, but Jesus canceled it. Amen. And then the author, he explains, he says, perhaps someone has offended or mistreated you, but this will never compare to what we have done against God. The person who chooses or feels like he can't forgive has forgotten, I'm sorry, how many sins Jesus forgave him or her. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not an easy thing in the natural, okay? It's not an easy thing in your own strength to forgive. You can do it, but you're going to have to let the Holy Ghost help you to forgive. And a lot of times I think we mentally forgive. And then, you know, we go on. And how can you tell if you've really, really forgiven them? You know, if you can forget, or if when you see him, you know, your blood doesn't boil. You know, I mean, this is how you know. I was one of those people years ago, before I was taught. I'd say, and I thought I was saying something. I mean, I really did. I thought I was. I say, I can forgive, but I won't forget. I mean, it was, and I was strong with it. You know, I say, yes, I can do. I said, I got a memory like an elephant. Well, no. You can forgive and you can forget. I mean, it's going to get to that point when you truly forgive. And it's not that you don't remember, but you don't remember the hurt. You know, you don't remember the anguish of it. And you can go on and you could still, you know, do good, you know, for that person. My grandma used to say, let me see, something about your enemies. Who remembers? Somebody, it was like... It's like heaping coals on their head when you do something good for them. Heaping coals of fire on their head. Who want to hear that when somebody done did you something? You know what I'm saying? but it's a principle. Okay, I want y'all to know it's a principle, and it's true, and it does work. You know, they can't stand it. They can't stand it. Yeah, and it's scripture. That's the main thing. It is scripture. You know, you just walk in love. Walking, especially, oh my God, especially if you're standing for something, especially if you believe in God for something. Like I told you the last time we met, you cannot afford to allow anybody or anything block you or stop you. Excuse me. You know, it's not worth it. It's really and truly not worth it when you consider the plan of God for your life. He has a plan. It's a good plan. Amen. He wants to bless you. So always remember that, you know, when you are offended or hurt or wounded, don't let that get in your spirit. You know, do something with it right away. Don't let it linger, because, man, you know, the longer you let it linger, the bigger the thing gets. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it's harder after that. The author talks about never leave pending and unresolved issues. Otherwise, the offense you don't forgive today, that's what he says, will eventually turn into bitterness and hate, and all your prayers will be rejected. See, it's not worth it. It's really and truly not worth it. I do want us to look at... two scriptures. He says, what happened when we don't forgive? The word tells us that we will be turned over to our torturers. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, that's why some people, you know, you're sick. That's why some people are depressed, because, you know, you're harboring unforgiveness, and, you know, God, his hands are tied, you know, where you're concerned. It's like, until you do something about it, until you get rid of it, you know, you're blocking him. The author says that these torturers, these are demons, and the consequences that we must face are poverty, wretchedness, sickness, and depression, among too many to mention. Through sin, we give the enemy, talking about the devil, legal rights to destroy us. Anger, resentment, bitterness, and hate follow the cycle of unforgiveness. Amen. 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 Turn to 1 John chapter 2. I think it's in your book. Maybe remember now he uses a different translation. I think it's the New King James Version. I like the King James Version. 1 John chapter 2 verses 8 through 11. I think I just told y'all to look at it, but we're going to look at it tonight. Amen. Amen. 1 John 2, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness, look at that, has blinded his eyes. Darkness has blinded his eyes. Think about what Apostle's been teaching us about the soul now. You know, you start with the sin, then you get the wound, and then the darkness. See that? It's a progression. You're right there in 1 John. Look over in the third chapter, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, we know, this is how you know you're saved. Look at that. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth his brother, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Isn't that something? And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Amen. Amen. There are many blessings. The author ends that chapter by saying there are many blessings from God that are now on hold because of our unforgiving attitude. The condition of our hearts, what we feel, and how we deal with unresolved offenses is what stops God's blessings from ever coming. And above all, it is a major obstacle to having our prayers answered. Amen. So the main thing is let it go. We do not want to walk in unforgiveness. Amen. Amen. So those are the main things, those two verses I wanted to look at. And I just wanted to emphasize that the author says this is one of our major obstacles to answered prayer. Amen. All right. He goes on, chapter 7, how to pray for 1 hour using different types of prayer. Now, I'm not saying everybody got to pray an hour. As an altar worker, one of the things that we do here at Word of Life Christian Center is when a person, for example, receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you know, we will tell them when you start, you know, it may not be but 5 or 10 minutes every day, but pray in the Spirit 5 or 10 minutes every day. And then you build and you build and you build. Now, we are taught here, I mean, it's easy for us because, you know, every week we have prayer meeting and we pray for 1 hour. Amen. And it's easy, believe it or not, to pray for an hour. It's real, real easy. What the author is focusing on in Ephesians chapter 6. Like I told you, I grew up, the only prayer I knew was Our Father. Amen. I got that book. And that book was talking about the different kinds of prayer. And my head was going, boing, 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 what is this man talking about? He was talking about different kind of rules for each kind of prayer. And I was just thoroughly confused, just confused. He said, if you can't receive it, put it on the shelf. I had to put the book on the shelf. I didn't know what he was talking about with these different kinds of prayer. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always, you see that? Mm-hmm. With all prayer. There's some translations that says all manner of prayer, all types of prayer, all kinds of prayer. So we see here that he's saying that there are different kinds of prayer. You know, even here he says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we see supplication right there. Okay, the author gives us a total of 12 types of prayer, 12 kinds of prayer. Like I shared, you know, before when I taught this lesson, some of these I have not heard of. There are others that I have heard of that he didn't mention, but amen. We're going to go by, what he said here. And the 12 types that he mentions, the prayer of praise and worship, the prayer of petition and supplication. And what's going to happen, we're going to go through each one of these. I'm just listing them for you right now. I'm just giving you the list. The prayer of intercession. Now, I got to stop there. I got to put a peg there. On Wednesday night, February the 10th, Reverend Montrell ministered on the topic of mature to manifest. Mature to manifest. And he taught on the prayer of intercession in a way I had never heard it taught before. So I encourage you to go to the archives and pull up Wednesday night training in the Word with Reverend Montrell and just look at it, so that when we get to the prayer of intercession and I start talking about it, you'll know what I'm talking about, because the author is not going to talk about it from that viewpoint. We know it's standing in the gap. We know it's praying for others. But I just want y'all just to go to the archives and watch that. Is it an assignment? No, it's not an assignment, online students. But you're going to be missing out if you don't watch it. Okay? Then he says that there's the prayer of consecration and dedication, the prayer of thanksgiving. Now, this was one I hadn't heard. The prayer of waiting upon God. The prayer of binding and loosening. That's the way we know it. The prayer of agreement. Here's another one. The prayer of wisdom and revelation. This is according to our author. And then number 10, he calls it corporal, but we call it corporate. You know, when we all get together and pray. And then number 11, he said it's the prophetic prayer. And then he starts with praise and worship, and then he ends with praise and worship. And these are the prayers that he discusses in this chapter. And again, our focus is on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He begins with the prayer of praise and worship. Okay, he says this kind of prayer is used to worship God for who he is, what he is, and for what he does. When you think about the prayer of praise and worship, you should begin your prayer. Now, this is important. You should begin your prayer with a time of praise and worship every time you decide to pray. Every time. There should be those that the first part should be praise and worship. Thank you. I praise you. Amen. He also says that you should begin to exalt God for his greatness. Amen. Exalt him for his greatness. Just that word praise. He says, what is praise? Praise means to honor, to glorify, to admire, and to celebrate God's goodness and wonderful works. Now that is praise. Yeah, you see the difference there? We're praising and we're honoring him for his wonderful works and for his goodness, things that he's done. That's why we praise him. Worship is for who he is. Amen. When you think about that. Now, Apostle has been sharing with us that, you know, a lot of times what we call worship is really praise. You know, you gotta praise him and praise him and praise him until you bump into worship. I like to think of it bumping into worship. You know, you get to that point where you just, oh my God, you're awesome and you're great and you're kind and you just, oh my. This is gonna be a good lesson. I think y'all are gonna really, really enjoy this because we're gonna understand some things about our prayer and when we're praying and why when other people are praying, why they do this. And why they acting like that, and why they lift their hands and all of that. Amen. It says, the more you exalt and magnify God through praise, the happier you will be. And your understanding of him will intensify and deepen. Your spirit will be lifted through praise. And so what happens if you just go in there and just start asking God for stuff? You know, you don't take the time to praise him and to honor him. Well, it's not going to do nothing for you. You know what I'm saying? He's saying here that when we praise him, that, you know, we become happy and we become lifted and our understanding of God is intensified because we are praising him. Amen? You will be so overwhelmed that you will begin to boast and brag about your God in praise. You know, because we have corporate prayer, you know, I can tell you, I hear that sometimes. You know, and then, oh, you're so good. Oh, you've been so good. You know, and they just go on and on. You're so loving. Oh, you're so kind. And you've done so much for us. You know, you'll hear people saying that. Amen? Because, you know, they're bragging on who he is and what he has done. Your praise will make you noisy, loud, and outspoken. Amen? Yeah, you get that way. You're not always that way. And you don't have to be that way, okay? I'm not saying that you got to be. But you have a tendency that, you know, you're going to get a little noisy, a little loud, and a little outspoken when you praise. You will begin to express what he is and who he is. It will seem as if you've lost your mind for an instant. Amen? And that's what you want to do. Yours. I mean, not literal mind. Because I had to catch myself one time. I said, I can't be asking the Lord about taking my mind, you know, because I said, no. I got to ask him something else. I got to ask him to do something with my mind. You know, because number one, we want to be focused in prayer. You want to be focused. You don't want to be praying in the spirit and your mind is on what you're cooking tomorrow. No, or men on how you gonna wash the car. You know, no. You gotta all three, spirit, soul, and body, and be focused in prayer. And praise, it's something about praise, praising him, it will help you to focus. See, because you can't praise him and your mind rambling. You just can't. You just gotta be focused. The author said that you will begin to resemble a person who's outside of himself, as if you had too much to drink and simply lost self-control. Amen? Amen. He takes us over to 2 Samuel. Yeah, I think we got time to read it. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Talking about David danced before the Lord. Let me find that in here. 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verses 13, 16, and then 20 to 22. Okay, 6. Okay, I have 13 to 16. And it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord, I'm sorry. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed, talking about David, oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with the linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shout. Look at that, with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, talking about his wife, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Isn't that something? She despised him. Go over to verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. Look at that. He came home to bless his house, and this woman despising him. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovered himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord." Verse 22, "And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base," isn't that something, "in my own sight," meaning low, "I'll be low." Oh my, oh my, I heard it. Somebody say humble. Ah, meek. We heard that tonight, huh? Amen. Amen. That's what David said. Look at here. Oh my. "And will be based in my own sight, and of thy maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Meaning, you know, these are the people that's going to honor me because I'm dancing before the Lord, because I'm shouting before the Lord. I mean, he was praising. He was praising. Get a man that the king. I mean, he'd have danced out of his clothes. He is just so happy because the ark of the Lord had been returned. Amen. And see, when we really, really get to thinking about what God has done, is doing for us, amen. I mean, your hands go up sometime. Now, I really, really shout at home. I mean, I'm not like my sister over here. You know, I got a sister over here. She just let go. But at my house, every now and then, you know, you might see me do a little something here. But it's not like I get loose at my house. You know, it's like you just think about the goodness of God. And if you've never had that experience, you want it. You know, ask the Lord. Say, "Now, Lord, you've been so good to me. You have blessed me. You've been kind to me. You have brought," I mean, I could tell you where, I mean, y'all don't know. People look at me now, you don't know where he brought me from. But when you know, when you think about all of that, you just can't help but just lift your hand and say, "Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you." That's why Thanksgiving to me, it's just the prayer of Thanksgiving, it's always on my lips. It's always on my lips because I know what he's done for me. And I can't help but just say, "Thank you." Amen. So we're talking about praise. We're talking about worship. And we're going to be looking at these different prayers. And we see here, if the king could do this, then we can do it too. Amen. Author says, "Praise means to express a favorable judgment of or to glorify God, especially by attribution of perfections, to express praise, to give God the honor and the glory through which you express your admiration." That's talking about the dictionary. Amen. Amen. Praise changes the priority. When we start praising God, it changes our priority from ourselves, amen, to God. We focus on him. Amen. Praise is a conscious decision. I'm conscious of it. I know what I'm doing. I know. I'm praising God. Amen. It's a conscious decision. It's an act of your will. There we go again. My will is where? In my soul. My will is in my soul. It's a conscious. It's conscious. Amen. I'm doing this on purpose. Amen. Glory to God. We're talking about praise. Amen. And look here, I wrote conscious decision. An act of your will. Amen. Oh, look, I say, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. That's over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Well, I got to read it. And we're talking about praise. And believe it or not, as a form of prayer, you see, let's put it in the context of what we're studying. We're studying prayer. And the author is saying the prayer of praise and worship. Amen. The prayer of praise and worship. Hebrews 13:15. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to do it. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. They call it a sacrifice. Oh, yeah. He's going to talk about that, too. Sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then the author, he goes on, he says, a sacrifice of praise is the kind of praise that you give to God out of obedience, regardless of how you feel. Doesn't matter whether you're happy, whether you're sad, just whatever, something going on, you're going to sacrifice the praise unto God. And then he gives us a Greek word, T-H-U-O. He says, the word for sacrifice means to kill or assassinate with purpose. Oh, wow. Kill, look at that word, T-H-U-O, okay? To kill or assassinate with purpose. The author explains, when you offer a sacrifice of praise to God, what you're really doing is killing your pride. Amen? Killing you, assassinating your pride, your selfishness, your self-righteousness, your laziness. Amen. Your tiredness. Look at that. And the desires of the flesh. What should you do when you do not have the desire to praise or worship? You begin to offer your sacrifice of praise to God. Kill everything that's holding you back from adoring him. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's a good note. Y'all go home now. Amen. Good night. Y'all have a good evening.